Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Okay, well, hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. We are so delighted that you've joined us this evening. We've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight. You've heard me say this, but I'm going to say it again. If you were going to miss a show, it was probably last night's show that you should have missed. But tonight's show is a show that, if you haven't done so already, you will probably want to go ahead and send a quick text message to your family, your close friends. You may even want to pause and add a call or simply reach out to them in some way or other to let them know about tonight's show. It's going to be a very good show tonight. The Lord promises to make this an outstanding show as we seek his presence in all that we do. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Lady Love, in just a moment. I do want to say that you can catch us every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for my weekly show there. And if you're choose to bypass that show, you can always join us back here on Friday evenings. You will definitely want to call in like you did tonight to get into the queue so you can line up early enough to be able to chime in should you care to do so. Tonight we're going to be talking about what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth. And this will also be followed by a Bible study. And the question is asked, what do people mean when they say all the time God is good and God is good all the time? And we'll have a series of questions that we will present to you all along those lines. We ask if you would like to, you can certainly support this ministry, this mission, and by subscribing to our weekly newsletter that comes out every week. It features our stories that are inspired by true events. And, of course, the names are always changed to protect the innocent. You will definitely want to hear that because it really gets in-depth into relationship issues and sometimes the challenges that go along with that. So you will definitely want to subscribe to that. Without further ado, let me go ahead and welcome the lovely Lady Love. Lady Love, welcome this evening. And I hope and trust that you are well.
Good evening, Dr. Walker. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm doing well. I am honored to be on the show again tonight. So thank you so much.
And thank you for being here with us. We're going to begin by inviting the presence of the Lord into our programming tonight. Father, we thank you for your multitude of blessings that you bestow upon us, not just each week, but each day, each second of the day. And we just want to extend our words out to you and say we thank you, we appreciate, we love and adore you, and we worship you. And tonight, help us to understand what it means to worship you in spirit and in truth, and in order that somebody will be glorified through your manifestation of your glory, that they will be blessed. These and other blessings, we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen, amen. Lady Love, let me begin by asking this question. And, you know, when I do so, it's like when we start out, you know, this show is completely led, unscripted, by the Word of God. And that's how I know that this show is of God. Because when I started my Friday night shows, probably over just over a year ago, because I used to do two relationship shows, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it was a press upon my heart through the Spirit that God wanted me to give up one of those nights to do a Friday night spiritual show. And in doing the two nights, the relationship shows, Tuesdays and Thursdays, it was a great deal of work. I mean, it was more work than I could actually tell you. I mean, it was just incredibly a lot of work. So, in fact, what happened was, I say, well, God, I tell you what, if this Friday night show that you want me to do is of you, then I'm not going to prepare a script like I do for the other two shows. If that Friday night show is of you, I won't prepare. And so I went on the air. I gave up the Tuesday night show, and I went on the air unscripted that Friday night that I started out. And God blessed that show so well that it was even blessed more than my Thursday night show. And I concluded, I say, well, okay, God. You know, there are times when we start to doubt God, and it's like, okay, maybe that was just the luck of the draw. Okay, God, I'll do another Friday night show. I won't do my Tuesday night show. I did that one, and it was more blessing. And so and it's all unscripted. And here we are over a year later, and this show has taken off beyond measure. So that's how I know it's of God. So now, Lady Love, I ask you, and I apologize for taking so long to ask this question. When we hear the phrase that we must worship God in truth, what comes to your mind? What does that mean to you? And do you have supporting scripture on that?
So what comes to my mind is to worship God in spirit and truth involves loving him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To worship must be in spirit that is engaged the whole heart. Unless there is a real passion for God, there is no worship in spirit. At the same time, worship must be in truth. We worship God based on the truth of who he is, the truth of who we are, the truth of what God does, and then the truth of what is going on in our world. To me, that's what I understand to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Okay, now, do you right now have any scriptures that supports what you're saying?
So John 4:6, when Jesus was talking to the woman in Samaria, and he was talking to her about worshiping, and he says, hold on one moment. Let's see.
Okay.
I'm trying to
hold
my phone. I apologize.
No, that's okay. So as she's looking for that particular scripture, you know, we want to hear from you all, too, to find out what you think, what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. And what does that mean to you? I mean, here it is that we talk about this, and we have so many other scriptures out there. One of them is, you know, let me just give you something. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this comes from the Spirit of Truth, King James Version, John 4:24. God is a spirit, and this is what she's talking about, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But when we talk about spirit, if you start to talk about spirits and you talk about them in depth, and it depends on how you begin to talk about them, you can certainly frighten some people. You know, so when we start to think about worshiping God in spirit, can we fathom a spirit? Can we fathom that? And then how does that tie in? The question becomes, how does that tie in with what God said, let us make man in our image? So does that mean that we also have a spirit? Does it mean that we also have a spirit? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Does it mean that God is also physical like we are, this image? Well, his son Jesus Christ that was on the earth over 2,000 years ago is, you know, was in God in person, in the flesh, you know, but he laid aside his deity to take on that human role to be just like we were. And a lot of people wrestle with that, but you can go and do the research yourself. Lady Love, are you ready to comment with us?
So John 4:23, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks.
Okay, all right. In spirit, spirit. When you think about a spirit, as I think about a spirit, it's like, okay, a spirit is something you cannot see. You know, I often hold up when I'm giving an illustration, I hold up a glass, a transparent glass, a glass that you can see straight through. And I say, now just picture this here without the elements of the glass itself that you can often see that it's a glass. But if you just picture this without the glass, then there is the likelihood that you know, you see this. You view this as a spirit. It's something that's transparent. You're not able to see it. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the glass, for example, you know that the contents of that glass are some type of air. You know, there's atoms in there. There may be molecules, and I'm maybe a little off on my science. I haven't taught it in so long. But there's something in there. And so if we can, and when we look at the atmosphere, Earth, where we're able to have oxygen and all of the different things that go with it, the planet, how it procreates, and we part of that procreation, then there has to be some element that has organized this, has put it all together, that's so supreme that it keeps everything from being so messed up. That is so organized. It's a system of organization and structure and design and purpose. And so when we begin to look at that, we say, well, okay, there's that spirit. You know, the Bible even tells us in Genesis that the spirit of God moved upon the waters. The spirit of God moved upon the waters. And so the spirit of God, you know, this energy, this natural element, this supernatural being, this creation, moved in a mysterious way and moved across the waters of the earth. And then it the logos, where it can actually speak, become the word. Somebody ought to help me here. The word, and where God could say, let there be light, and then it brings forth a perfect light. So when we talk about spirit, we want to hear from you all. What does it mean to you to worship God in spirit and in truth? And, you know, sometimes we get our listeners, and after the show, they will often call me, and they want clarity on some things. They'll ask me. They'll share their views. And that's not necessarily the time to do that. The good time to share your views is when we're all sort of on the air together, and I'll tell you why. I'm not saying that I have the answer. I'm not saying that I'm coming across with the authority. There's only one person that has all the answers whose word is absolute, and that's God, the creator. Even medicine is an inexact science. It's a practice, the practice of medicine. Even law is an inexact science. It's the practice of law. Everything is changing. Things are constantly in motion. Things are constantly changing. So if you're looking for any one human being to have the answers to all of life's challenges, you're looking for, you're looking in the wrong direction. It's not going to come from a human being on the planet Earth as we know ourselves to be. It's a spiritual being that's greater than any of us could ever possibly be. And it's the Creator that caused everything to be. Without the Creator, nothing could have been. Lady Love, I'm going to give you an opportunity while I drink some water here to come in with any other thought or scripture that you may have.
Well, what you were saying, Genesis 1, verse 2, and you were saying, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. So God is light. He brings out the darkness. So he is our spirit. He is our living water. He is what makes us who we are. He's the beginning. In the beginning, like you stated, he said, let there be light. He is what makes us right to be able to pray, to worship with a true heart. He is in us. He is our spirit, and we are his spirit, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. It does. It does. And I'll tell you, and I want to go back to revisit something for a moment, and that is many of you all who are listening, you want to say something, but you're not sure if you're going to get it right or wrong. Excuse me. You're not sure if you're going to get it right or wrong. It doesn't really matter, because this is, you know, the Friday night programs are where it's a sort of a thought-provoking show that more leans in the direction of discussion and study. You know, and the Bible commissions us to study thyself, study to show thyself approved. Not just take any man's word for it, but go and look and search for the word of God for yourself to find out how you interpret the word of God. Because anybody can lead you in any direction, and you can believe them. But if that's not truth, if that's not leading you in spirit and in truth, then you have to question that in spirit and in truth. So tonight, I would love to hear from you all. How do you, well, what does it mean to you to worship God in spirit and in truth? And a lot of times people are just listening. They don't want to come outside their comfort zone. But I'm going to tell you a story that brought me to where I am to this day. And that was, as a little boy, eighth grade, they chose me to be the eighth grade president. I've shared this story before. And I was very shy. I was very shy. But they thought that I was very smart, intelligent, smart enough to that the entire class nominated me to be the eighth grade president, and it was unanimous. Well, I really declined the position, but even the administrator says, no, this is the one we're choosing because of my grades. And anyway, I was like, no, I'm not getting up to speak before people, and I just knew that. Well, somehow or other, when word got to my mom, and my mom is one of those people whom you just, you know, she sees your, she recognizes your potential. She always wanted me to be a preacher anyway. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't subscribing to that at the time. And so she says, no, you're going to do this. And they got me an eighth grade, so you can't say no to mom, you know, if you want to live any longer. So I accepted the position. Of course, I had no choice. And they brought me out of my comfort zone of being shy and just reserved and not having to talk much. And let me tell you, since that time, and standing before hundreds of people at the ceremony at the eighth grade graduation, something that I refused to do also until my mother just simply threatened me, just simply by standing up at the front of the church before the program. And my sister and I, my sister's a year younger than me, before we both jumped up and got in line just from my mother's standing up and giving us a stare. Well, many of you all who are listening, I'm certain that you can relate to what I'm saying, because every mother has a certain look, and she doesn't have to say a word. You know what that look means. You can interpret that, and I don't care what language it is. You can interpret that. And it's like the fear of God can come in you instantly when she gives you that look. And some of you all who are listening are also mothers, and you know what I'm talking about because you have that look that you've given to your child or children, and they're like, you know, the fear of death is imminent for them, and they're like, Mom, what did I do? What did I do? You can walk in the house and you know. Lady Love, before I go any further, you know, and let me just bring this point to a close. I came out of my fear at that time, and I'm grateful to God because after that, they couldn't get me to shut up. Lady Love, here we are, and that was bringing me to where I am today, a talk show host. Lady Love, let me ask you, you know, as we're talking about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, you know, you got to be honest. You got to be honest. You know, you as a mother, do you have a look about you that your child or your children just automatically know that they're close to death based on your look?
Yes. I do have that look where, you know, how you're taking your children out somewhere and you give them the speech to tell them where you're going. And you tell them to make sure they're acting right, they're not misbehaving. And, you know, you get that one that might want to test you. And I happen to look over. I have my son. Oh, he would always test me. And I would look over at my son. But my face would not change. He would just look at my eyes. And he would look at my eyes and he would stop right dead sentence because you can tell he was ready to burst to say something that was going to embarrass me. And I would just look at him. And next thing you know, he's standing there like he's in the military, like he better sit still or she's going to get me. And it was true because, you know, once I get you in that car, it's a wrap. But yeah. So I put the fear of God in that child with my eyes. My mouth did not move, my nose, my eyes told him, you better not. So
wow,
yes, that, you are correct.
That is, and it's so amazing. It's so, I laugh because I was always getting those looks. It was like, and it didn't help having my sister who was younger than me there. And, it was always like, I'm going to tell mama. I'm like, oh, my goodness, why did God have to make sisters, right? But anyway, I'm so thankful for her. But the fact of the matter is, some of you all, as we talk about this here, those looks, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, do you believe that God has this look, that he's always watching us? And I'm thinking, you know, the fact is we can't, we can't see his look, but I can tell you, you know, the Bible tells us that whom God loves, he chastises, right? Whom God loves, he chastises. And so we may not be able to see his look, but we can certainly feel the pain of his wrath when we've done something wrong. Lady Love, do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yes, Dr. Walker. So you get that intuition, you know, that God gives you that feeling, that inner spirit, let you know, you are better not. I don't know.
We're losing you. We're losing you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly now. I can hear you. Yes.
Okay. Yes, you know, you would get that inner feeling like if I do something, I know I'm going to be in trouble. I better not do it. So I believe it's the spirit of God inside of me, and he gives me the fear of Jesus, you better not do it.
Right.
So, yes, Dr. Warka. Like even speaking on this show, I get so nervous that sometimes you catch me and I'm like, okay, it's time for me to say something. So yes, I get nervous. I get the spirit of God in me to say, you can do this. You can do this every day. So you push me. And I thank you for that.
And I thank you for bringing that out of you. And Hebrews 12:6-7, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And this means to chastise, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? In other words, it's almost like, you know, spare the rod and spoil the child. You know, if we don't, and I think that that's one of the social ills of today, the fact that parents are almost afraid of the law to discipline or to spank their children, you know, because they're afraid that the law, they could be held accountable by the law. But, you know, I think that a lot of that needs to be clarified on what the law says, and perhaps one of these shows will have someone to come on and break the law down to what that really means, whether or not it means you can't spank your child. I mean, how do you get them to show reproof? How do you get them to correct behavior? And so, I mean, it's like because God instructs us to do so. You know, you spoil the child, you ruin the child if you don't. And so if God doesn't, in spirit and in truth, if he doesn't deal with us, we're going to be completely out of line. We're going to be in a more chaotic state than we are now. And so when we talk about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, if we're created in the image of God, that means we have taken on, we have a spirit. The spirit of God dwells within us. And the Bible tells us that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. As we study God's word, this becomes the spiritual food that we need. So in other words, we need that spiritual food. So that spiritual food will allow us. Now watch me, follow me, you all. That spiritual food, as we've come to understand it, will take us to the point where we begin to understand the nature of God. We won't fully understand God. His reasoning is so far from our reasoning. But we begin to sort of establish what it is. It's a relationship with him. As we read his word, we learn more about his character. We learn about his love. We learn about, you know, the things that God has said, his power, his sovereignty, all of these things. And so when we begin to realize this connection that we have with him, then we begin to say, oh, now I understand. I begin to understand this. I begin to understand certain things where the Bible will say all things work together for the good. I begin to understand because now without that relationship with him, you know, without having that feeding that spirit, and see, everything that God does, he does for his own glory, his own manifestation. God is sovereign. He's all-powerful. He's in and of himself. That's why he can say, I am that I am. That's it. That's period. I am that I am, period. When Moses said, who should I say sent me? He says, I am that I am sent you. That's it. There's nothing else. He's it. Everything it is God. He is, and that's it. There's no other thing to follow. He is just everything. Where there's life, he is. So when you take on that spiritual component of the spiritual food as opposed to the physical food that we eat, you see, that spiritual food is what comes back to God. His word comes back to him. Well, God, you said, and last week we talked about the promises of God. God, you said, and the one thing that unlike man, God cannot lie because he's sovereign. He's eternal. Okay, let's go to phone lines, 347-740. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Who do we have?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Monica.
Monica, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Lady Love.
Thank you. Lady Love is there. Yeah. Monica, what does it mean for you to worship God in spirit and in truth? And you all can press one on your dial and share with us because, you know what, when God has been good to you out there, how can you hold your tongue? How can you hold your tongue when God has been so good to you, his spirit, his breath of life exists in you because something you might say will bless someone else out here who's struggling to understand the nature and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but what does it mean to you to worship God in spirit and in truth?
Dr. Walker, I've been so blessed for the time that I've been on this show. You talk about the word of God, and as our spiritual food, the word of God says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible continues to say, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you're so correct. Without God and his word, there would be nothing that was made. You early on you were talking about, you know, science and without God there is nothing made that was made. So in spirit and in truth, he is the truth. So without him, everything else is a lie. And so I thank God for his spirit, and I thank God for his truth, because that is what keeps me every day to be hopeful, to be joyful, to overcome the obstacles that, you know, are placing my way every day, the challenges, the spirit of God, which is so mighty and so great. And I just thank God for his word, which is spirit and is truth.
Amen to that. Amen to that. We're going to actually stand by just for a second. Let's go to phone lines once again. Let's go to, 561-396. 561-396. Welcome to the show tonight.
Good evening, Dr. Jesse. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
This is Beverly Ashman in Lake Worth, Florida.
Okay,
and,
Beverly from Lake Worth. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate your show. But I want to say is that God is a spirit, and like when God sent Jesus on the earth, he had to have a body for Jesus to live in so that he could, you know, be amongst normal man and woman. Without that, Jesus would also be a spirit like God. And for God to be magnified in us, we have to talk about his goodness, testify about the things he has done for us, because God cannot do that for himself. He relies upon those of us whom he have made way or have done things for us that we know no other person, no man could have ever done it. So when we give those glory, the Spirit of God is blessed by that, because he cannot come down and say, I do this, or I will do that. He manifests himself in us. So that way we know God is a spirit that works through us. The Spirit of God works in us.
Okay, so Beverly, let me ask you this question. Are you telling me that God does not have hands, God does not have feet, God does not have a nose?
Not to the natural eye, no. God is a spirit. Mm. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we have to believe him. And when we worship, just know that we are worshiping God, even though Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe.
Mm-hmm. But how can you see a spirit? And I gave the illustration earlier at the top of the hour that you take a glass that's transparent. You know that there's something, the contents within that glass. But if you remove the glass and just have your image of the glass, you know that there's something, and the image becomes of the world. So, and my image of the world is God. So then what was the point of God creating us in a physical image? If he's spirit, why didn't he just create us in spirit, and are the angels spiritual beings?
Well, then the whole world will just be spirit walking around and nobody can see each other. But in the spiritual world, I don't think God wanted it like that. Because don't forget, that's why in Genesis, I think Genesis 1:3 said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the water.
Yes.
And I think it's in also, I think it's also in Genesis 6 after the flood. And the Lord was talking to Noah. And he told Noah that his spirit will not strive always with man.
With man, right?
Because the sin of man has come up to him as a stink in his nostrils. So he has to get away. So,
wow.
You know, God is powerful, and nobody cannot fathom him. We just have to believe that he is.
Right. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. This is very interesting. If you're just joining us tonight, tonight's topic is, what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? You don't want to miss this one here. You want to be able to, we've got about 15 to 20 minutes before we bring this one to a close, and then we're going to go into our Bible study. But you don't want to miss this one here, and you definitely don't want to miss the Bible study. And, you know, everything will be over by 8:30. Let's go to the phone line. Once again, Beverly, we appreciate your thoughts. We're going to actually stand by Lady Love. We'll come back to you in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to 754-217. Who do we have on the air? 754-217. All right, 754-217-91. All right, apparently they're not there yet. All right, let's go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 718. Let's go to 718. We'll come back to 754. Let's go to 718-749. You're live on your one-hour inspirational program.
Hi, good night, everyone. This is Nova.
Thank you. Thank you, Nova, for joining us.
Yes, and this is a really good topic because, interestingly enough, the Lord was leading me to 2 Peter this week, and in 2 Peter, the significance of this book following the first letter to the church, I believe. I forgot where. I'm not sure if it's in Corinth, but the second, following the first letter to the church, 2 Peter was written. And so it really was concerning the Gnostic beliefs, or basically these beliefs that were creeping into the church that they could free themselves, or the people could free themselves from this physical world, thus embracing the spiritual. And we actually have the same issues today. People want to embrace the spiritual, but in a very... in a way that they feel that is very healthy, but it's very unsafe because they don't understand the spiritual warfare. But same thing, astral projection, you know, transcendence, all of these New Age ideas that really are rooted and grounded in ancient mysticism. But the interesting thing is, when you go back to Genesis, that was one of the very first temptations that Satan offered to Eve, which was, you shall become like God. And what is God? God is spirit being. And also, to be spiritual means that we recognize that we are already part of God, which is that spirit. So, you know, the interesting thing is the enemy is trying to confuse us and believe that we don't actually have or don't obtain that which we are seeking to draw closer to. Because naturally, before the fall, they were seeking to draw closer to God. It was after the fall that they hid from him. But the point is, about this spirituality, everyone knows intrinsically, or, you know, inside of themselves, that they are spiritual beings. Spiritual beings can be seen. The Word of God says that God makes his angels ministering spirits or flames of fire. So we're talking about chemistry, in a sense. That when light actually speeds slows down, it becomes matter. Not that it is introduced to matter, but that light becomes matter. Therefore, that which was invisible, or that which was not so visible to the eye, actually becomes material. This is a great mystery to us, but spiritual things are spiritually understood. The point that I truly want to make is this. We need to understand the connection between being spiritual and being religious, and what those two mean. So,
okay.
I'm sorry.
No, we've got a show coming up on that, but go ahead and give us your thought. I would welcome your thought, and then we're going to move on, and we'll come back to you shortly.
Okay. So my basic thought is this. We need to understand the fundamental reason for being spiritual in connecting in worship to God and being able to connect to him even as a baby is connected to its mother in the womb. We are born of the Creator, but we were born or created in a way to connect with him through worship. It's very important to understand that worshiping God in spirit is to understand who we are in him and how we function in him, and in truth, that what God has said and done will exist as truth from the foundation of the world. And so when we go back to the Bible, it's the express will of God. But this one thing we must understand, the law of heaven is love, and that love is truth. And that is something that can be tested over and over again. Truth is something that will always come up the same, genuine. It is true. It does not change. And so we have to understand that God is unchangeable. He doesn't change, and he is therefore truthful. And that is how we need to connect with him.
Okay, and having said that, it tells us that, and the truth shall set you free, and the truth shall set you free. Nova, we do appreciate your thoughts and your comments, and she's very deep in this, and if you all listen to what she was saying, it is so impactful. She brought a little science in there, and last week we had to show our God and science, one of the same, and it was a very good discussion on science and God, and some felt that God is science. God is. And this is just my personal humble thought. We are spiritual beings because we're created in the image of God, having a human experience. We're spiritual beings. And then there is a mystery to us. Science says that energy never dies. Now, Nova, I got to ask you this question because you talked about, you know, our being spiritual beings. And you talk about matter, you talk about energy. These are all scientific terms as we know them. Now, what is your thought when it says that energy never dies? So the energy that man brings, is it finite or infinite, or what is it, in your opinion? Just quickly before we move on, and then we'll go to 561-452 coming up next.
Well, God, in essence, basically had the idea of who we were going to be and specifically handpicked this for the time that we live in. So we were in his thoughts before the world was ever created. When he created Adam and Eve, he shared that spirit, and it continued to create more and more to people to populate the earth. But that energy doesn't go back to God in the form of our being conscious or aware of anything. So people need to understand the word of God when he says he puts us in the ground and puts us to sleep. That thought, that energy, it goes back to God, but not in the way that people think. People are not in heaven looking down on us. They are asleep, as the Bible says, awaiting for the second coming of Christ. Now, that's scripturally significant, and that's also what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. If we understand the truth of what it means to sleep, then we'll understand correctly what it means for God to actually hold on to our consciousness and be able to reanimate us during that time when Christ comes back again. So that's a very deep topic that I know you're touching on,
yes.
Dr. Walker.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Nova, I got to ask you this just before we move on, because we're on a roll here now. And I want to address something, because you said that we're actually able to see spirits. Have you ever seen a spirit? And what do you, is there a scripture or anything scientific that you want to give us that supports your theory on that, that we are actually able to see spirits? And you talked about angels relative to that.
Well, yes. I mean, angels have manifested themselves to many people in the Bible. And many people today talk about that they've seen their angels, and in times of distress or even in times where an angel has come to test the spirituality of a city or a person, whether they're going to be kind or good or nice. I mean, it is a lot of angel stories out there. Some angels have even rescued people from cars. We have a very active planet when it comes to angels. So understanding that, yes, they are, you don't see them, but they can manifest in the material. I have felt my angels before. I have seen some angels, and that's another whole story. But they're very real, very, very real. I don't even, Dr. Walker, you could probably ask anybody on this line if they've had an encounter with an angel. And I'm sure like 8 out of 10 people will tell you they have.
They've had an experience with an angel. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. You know, it's so interesting what we're talking about tonight. What does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? And it's a pleasure, it's a joy to have all of you all on here. And I'm going to ask if you would kindly indulge us tonight. We're going to get to as many people as we possibly can. And I want to share something with you. I received a video this week. I'm not sure. I received so much, so many things from so many different people between calls, text messages, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. I received a WhatsApp, and I can't remember who sent me this particular video, but it was just sent to me within the last 3 days, and it was about a young lady whose car had driven off. I'm not laughing at the situation, but it turns out good, so I can laugh with this here, because we're talking about angels and we're talking about spirit. This lady's car drove off into the water, and as she was thinking, she thought to call her brother and tell him that she loves him, her sibling, and there were some people standing around and saw this woman drive off into this water, you know, apparently by accident. And lo and behold, there was a medical doctor. He was one of the first ones in, but no one could break a window. No one could get her out, and she's panicking in this car. And so there was a man, I believe him to be a construction worker, that say that he got to the front of the car, the front windshield, and he could somehow or other feel her hand, and her hand grabbed a hold of him, and he somehow or other he was able to get her from the seatbelt and pull her out of the car. Now, this was on the news, and I have the video, you all. I have a copy of it, you know, but you don't see this taking place, the part about him having his hand connected with her hand and pulling her out. But the news people went on to tell the story because they said at the end, the entire mystery to them was the woman got out of the car. She was rescued safely, but there were no windows broken or open for the woman to come out. And the question became, how was this man able to feel her hand and pull her out when not a window in that car was down? The front windshield was not cracked. There was no holes anywhere. How did that woman get out of that car? And the only thing they can account that to was it was an angel. So when she talks about angels, this is deep. Let me go back to Lady Love just before we go to 561-452. Then we're going to go to 561-396. Lady Love, let me just bring you in here. I mean, that story, and I had just said to some family members, a day before that, I had said to several people I was going to buy these gadgets to break the windshield of the car that also features a blade to cut the seatbelt in case someone goes into the water. And the very next day, I get a video on this from someone who I didn't even share the information about buying this gadget. Lady Love, angels, you know, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. The angels, are they spiritual beings as well?
Yes. Dr. Walker, they are spiritual beings sent by God. A lot of times they watch over us and they direct our path on what to do. They are there to protect us. They're there to, like I said, direct us. We each one of us, I believe, has an angel. In Genesis 19 with Sodom and Gomorrah, there was two angels that arrived in Sodom and Gomorrah. So in different topics of the Bible, you were here where there were angels, and they come to warn us when something bad is going to happen. So because God's not finished with us. And when he's not finished with us, he sends his angels to redirect us to make sure that we go the path that we're supposed to go.
Well, that is awesome. Have you had a personal experience, to your knowledge, with your angel?
No, Dr. Walker, I have not. I can admit to.
Right, not that you're aware of. All right, we're going to ask you to leave that. We're going to ask you to stand by, and we appreciate all of you, all your patience and indulgence.
We're going to go
to 561-452. You're live on the air. 561-452. Who do we have with us? 561-452. That's your phone number. That's the first six numbers. Are you there? Okay, perhaps you're just listening in. All right, let's go then to 561-396. Let's go to Beverly. Let's bring you back in. Beverly, we talk about personal experiences with angels. Have you had an encounter, to your recollection or to your awareness or knowledge, with an angel?
Yes, I've had an encounter with an angel. I believe it was an angel. I was working with my people I was with for 15 years, and we went to the doctor, and we were driving on the back street in Palm Beach going home, and this guy just ran the red light. It was raining. Just run the light. And, I mean, the car, there was no way I could stop. I step on the brake, and the car just starts sliding, and we hit his car, and then our car hit the wall, and this big old wall in Palm Beach, anybody know Palm Beach, know those big old walls, the wall broke in two. And
wow.
My recollection when the accident happened, I saw this huge, I didn't see a face. It was like a huge blanket with an arm just open, and I could only hear the sound like a flopping sound, and it covered the car. And instead of the car just slammed the wall, the car slid into the wall. And to let you know that there was an angel there, when I went for the police report 2 days later, the policewoman said to me, I heard there was fatalities in this accident. I said, no, because I was the driver. She said, no. She said, I heard the wall is broken in two. I said, yes, the wall is broken in two. Right now, today, that wall, the people did not even fix the wall. They opened it into a gate. So that was a miracle, because all three of us should have been dead, including that other guy.
Wow.
But I seen an angel that day.
Wow.
So I believe in angels. I believe they're with us every day.
Every day. That is amazing.
Every
let's see
day.
If we can go to this caller again up here. Let's try 754-217. Is the caller there? 754-217? All right. 754-217 apparently wants to just listen in. Let's try 561-452 again. 561-452. Are you there? Okay, perhaps they want to just listen in as well. All right, and let's go back to Nova just for a second. Lady Love, we're going to come to you in a moment. And I've got to ask this question. I mean, it's like worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You know, if we are the spiritual beings, we're spiritual beings having this human experience. So my take on how do I worship God in spirit and in truth, knowing that, and you said it earlier, Lady Love, you and Nova also mentioned it as well, that we got to know who that, when you come to God, you got to know that he is God. You got to be a believer. You got to trust in him where you can't trace him. You got to know that he's there, even though you can't see him. You got to know he's there. Like I talked about the glass, if you remove the glass, you know that something is there. Earth is that way. All the elements that we have, the atoms, the molecules, everything, God makes up all of that. So he's there. So then, you know, he has, and then we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, that's the physical part, but against principalities in high places. The battle was never ours. It was God's. And you hear Yolanda Adams sing that. So, Lady Love, my question to you is, in worshiping God in spirit and truth, does that mean that we have praise and worship songs? Does that mean that we read the Bible? Does that mean that we just adore God? What does that, I mean, give me some physical components to go to that. And then we're going to bring Nova on for the same thing and Beverly as well.
So to me, to worship and praise God, you read the Bible, you can sing, you got to be good to people. So worship can include praying, reading God's word with an open heart, singing, participating in communion, serving others. It is not limited to one act, but it is done properly when the heart and attitude of the persons are in the right place.
Okay. All right. Okay. That is brilliant. Let's bring Monica first. Monica, give me your physical components of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Does that mean that you get up and you pray? Does that mean you meditate? Does that mean you hold your breath? You know, what does that mean to you? I mean, the physical aspects of it.
Well, the spirit in you drives you, your different experiences that you have, because as I told you a couple of weeks ago, that I'm just one that cannot contain my praise, but there are times when I'm just so awed at the power, the manifestation of the spirit being expressed, and I'm so quiet, and I just cry. So he manifests himself in you, you know, in different ways, but it is just such a wonderful experience when he, the spirit of truth, is working in you. Oh my goodness, I've been just so blessed tonight. I'm sitting here just absorbing these insights, and it's just wonderful to worship God in spirit and in truth, because it makes you free. It makes you free indeed.
All right. Monica, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to phone lines once again. Let's go to 786-319. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Hello, Dr. Walker. Hello, Lady Love, and to all your guests. This is Sister Marjorie.
Sister Marjorie, thank you for joining us.
What does
it mean to you? What does it mean to you to worship God in spirit and in truth? There's two things here now. He's saying in spirit, that's one, and in truth, that's two. What does that mean?
Yes. I believe, like, worship God with your whole heart, your mind, your soul. You know, spiritually, worship him. And also in truth, you know, just give him your old self. You know, when you do worship him and pray, you just use your old self. That's the way I feel. Just give him your all.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. Very good. Let's go back to now. Nova, let's bring you back in. Nova, a lot has been said here. I mean, an entirely lot has been said here. And you know, some of it can sound confusing because we talk about energy doesn't die out. We talk about people who have, you know, God is allowed to sleep. You also have people who believe that their loved ones die and they're in heaven looking down upon them. You know, what's with all of this confusion? Is that a ploy of the enemy to try to confuse the people? And do you have any scriptures anywhere out there that can testify to what you're saying, that nobody is dying and going to heaven like that?
Hi, good night. This is Nova. Yes, I apologize. I just was taking care of something before, and now I'm back. We are talking about the idea that people do not go directly to heaven, that they go into a sleep. The interesting thing I was thinking about this the other day, the story of Jesus when he resurrected, he actually brought with him the first fruits of the resurrection. The first fruits were people that were raised from the dead, that went back into their towns and villages and told of the truth of the Messiah. Now, the importance of understanding that is to understand that death was the last enemy that Christ overcame. Well, what does that mean? And doesn't everybody just go to heaven? No. because Jesus had to fulfill his mission here on earth, which was to be that that mediator, that person that comes between us and death, that man, that God that gave us grace. So we in and of ourselves, we're not able to rescue ourselves from sin, and the punishment of sin is death, eternal separation from God, and no, there's no eternal living, there's no eternal hell. So people are not, I think, not cognizant or not aware that the Bible definitely intrinsically talks about how it is that we are directly connected to the truth, that we do not go to heaven directly. There are exceptions. Enoch, Elijah,
right. Yeah.
Moses, but even Moses died and then was resurrected later.
Right.
And God took him. At the Mount of Transfiguration, right? When the disciples.
Exactly. So
the point is, you caught me off guard because there's a lot of Bible text I can go to, but I cannot call any off the cuff.
No, that's okay. We'll take your time and let us go because we're going to have to transition to the other program. Lady Love, let me bring you back in, and we're going to ask all of you all to stay with us. This is only 29 minutes worth left. Lady Love, did you have any other comments before we transition to the other topic for Bible study discussion?
Let me just say this, Dr. Walker. God meets you where you are. He does not wait for you to get your act together. Trying to hide from our sins is what separates us from God. He expects us to mess up, but he also wants the real us with our mistakes.
Right.
The Spirit is intrinsic for us so that we are worshipped in truth by the power of the Holy Spirit without being condemned. The truth is God accepts our repentance, forgives us, and we are free to worship.
You know, and I appreciate you saying that because I think sometimes we get confused out here and we, you know, almost as if we strive for perfection. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong to pursue, but I mean, sometimes when we get to a certain point, maybe we've overcome something that maybe appear to be a sin to us, or sent to someone else who none of us are in a position to judge. But then what begins to happen is, it looks like when we overcome certain things, then some of us become judgmental towards others. So I think we have to be very careful of that, you all. And I think in our pursuit of worshiping God in spirit and in truth, worshiping him, we need to go back and look at what it means to worship, to worship. Look at that element of worship. What does that require? What does God require us when he says worship? And then he's saying worship him in spirit. I think we got a little jest on the spirit and in truth by study of his word. And we must come to him as we are because he meets us where we are, as Lady Love said. But we've got to be honest with ourselves because God already knows our hearts. He knows who we are. And we're coming to him and saying, God, please make me better than I have been, you know, to manifest your glory for others. Now we've got a transition. We thank you all. We hope you can stay with us because now we're going to switch to a topic that you don't want to miss. If you're going to miss one, you should have probably missed the one we just had. But this one here is going to be deep because I got to start out by asking the question tonight, and this is what it is. We're asking the question, you know, with people. You know, when people say they make this phrase all the time, and this is what I'm trying to understand. When people make this particular phrase and they say all the time, you know, they'll always say, what do you think people mean when they say all the time God is good and God is good all the time? And let's start with Beverly. Beverly, let's bring you in and start with you. What do you think people mean when they say that? God is good all the time and all the time God is good. What do they mean?
That simply means that no matter what we have done or what sin we have entangled ourselves in, God is so good that if we only confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and start all over. I believe when Jesus told the disciples to forgive 7 times 7, God forgive us even more than that. So God is good all the time, and all the time God is good.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by.
He doesn't treat us
Nova,
like we deserve.
Okay, Nova, let's bring you in, and I want to find out the perhaps some information on this. Sister Marjorie, we're going to come to you in a moment. Nova, and I've got to ask this question here to you, and that is, I hear people say this all the time, right? And the way they're saying it, it almost sometimes is out of frustration that they're saying it out of frustration because of something that has transpired in their lives, and they're angry. And they're saying, child, all the time, God is good, and God is good all the time. But in another breath, if you just had a conversation with them and they're sharing this with somebody else now, no longer you, they just fussed you out or they just told you about their, you know, about all of these issues that they're, I don't mean to laugh, but I'm just trying to understand this. All these issues that they've had in their life and they don't just seem to be going away. And then yet they come out and they say, child, God is good all the time. I mean, they just fussed you out. But all the time, God is good, and God is good all the time. Help me understand that, Nova.
Well, people are people. We all have a time where we're frustrated, and God doesn't seem to be doing what he said he was going to do, and that's just the trying of our faith. And the Word of God says, you know, why do you think it's strange, you know, these fiery trials that you're going through? And as you were saying, Dr. Walker, that, you know, God says that we are not considered sons and daughters unless we are chastised. And what that means is discipline. You know, in order to be good in school, you have to be disciplined in your work. You have to be studious. You have to be dedicated. And so God is trying to dedicate us to the greatest thing, which is himself. And why is that important? Because all the attributes that God has is refined and ennobled. And that's what he wants for us to be, is refined and ennobled people. What does that mean?
Right.
We want the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering,
right,
kindness, patience, you know, and self-control. The point is, why would people say that? Because that's where they want to be, but they're not there yet. So
okay,
in an effort to try and match where they want to be, they will say things to encourage themselves. We often hear that phrase, encourage yourself.
Right.
So,
okay,
you know, yeah.
Go ahead, finish your thought, please.
So people are really, we have to come to the understanding that we are just human and accepting that we are imperfect, because if we try too hard to be perfect, we're going to lose our connection in the Spirit with God. Because
right,
being in the Spirit doesn't mean you fake it till you make it. Being in the Spirit means that you are submitted to the lessons that God needs to teach you. And from that, he will give you the genuine joy to express that to others.
Right. Okay. Excellent point. And that's where we talk about the perfection, the journey to perfection. And it's a journey. It is a journey. And some of us get there, and we fail to realize that it's a journey, and it's not for us to be judgmental. And speaking of judgmental, Lady Love, I've got to bring you in here and ask this question, that why, in your opinion, is it that, I mean, to me sometimes it seems like people are just saying that because this is something they've heard. All the time, God is good, God is good, all the time. Almost sound, and pardon me if I sound judgmental, that's not my intent, but it seems like they're just faking with this here because they've been so angry, and Nova said it best, because they're not where they want to be, and they're trying to inspire themselves for the hope that they want God to deliver them from or to. And, I mean, when people are saying out of anger, is that really, like, do you think that that would be pleasing to God? You know, when it's like I can't even pay my light bill, but I need to borrow the money from you, the $36 from you, Lady Love, and then you're sitting on, you know, so much money, and you're like, well, Dr. Walker, I God is good all the time. I'm going to pray for you. Help me out with that, Sister Lady Love.
First of all, God's essence is good. Okay, so Everything about God is good, but we forget that there's two parts. There's God and then there's the devil. So the devil's not good. So whatever the devil sets out to hurt you, God will step in to help you. So even though you're frustrated because the devil is on your back and won't give you any money, God's going to send that person to you to help you out. So your life will not get cut off. But whatever it is, God is perfect. He's a gift come down from God, the Father, who created everything. He's light from heaven. He changes everything. So whatever is meant for evil, God turns it around for good. So when we say God is good, and we say God is good all the time, because whatever the devil meant for evil, God will step in and fix it.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask Sister Marjorie, we're going to bring you in. Thank you, Lady Love. We'll be back to you in a moment. Sister Marjorie, let's bring you in.
Yeah.
And Sister Marjorie, do you find yourself saying that a lot? And have you ever said it when you were really angry and somebody got on your nerves?
Yes, I've said it before. But most of the time, you know, when I say it, you know, it's just a lot of good things that happen. But sometimes bad things could happen also. And you say that because we know that no matter what happened, God is all good. So whether we are going through good times or bad times, He's still going to be good. So no matter what, we always say, God is good all the time, all the time, God is good. It's a phrase that we use, but we really use it a lot of times just to say, just to show how powerful He is. Because no matter what situation we're going through, we go through the good situation and bad situation. But no matter what, He's always there for us. When we think, they have the thing about the footprint. You know that thing they say about the footprint?
Yeah.
And they said, when the person said, Lord, why when I need you the most, you weren't there? And He said, my child, my precious, precious child. When you saw only one set of footprint, that's when
I was
carrying
you.
So He's always there for us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So He's always good. He's good all the time, and all the time He's good.
But sometimes,
no matter what
people,
situation.
Yes, and I understand that. Sometimes people are saying that, but it's almost as if they want to give you a testimony to set you up. And then they're like, if I go to Lady Love and I say, I need these $36, I mean, I've been boasting how good God is all the time, and all the time God is good. But all of a sudden now, I got these 12 children. I can't pay even the light bill. And I'm going to her, and I'm saying, Lady Love, can I just borrow $36? And, somewhere along the way, because God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, I'm going to have that money back for you next Friday. Well, I just borrowed some money a week ago for grocery from another person, and the week before that. And I told them the same thing. So what am I saying? What am I saying?
Well, in that situation, if she had the money to lend, I guess she would. But if she don't have it, then she wouldn't be able to lend her. So God is still good no matter what, you know, in good time or bad time. So that's
so when my children, when they're hungry and they're waiting to eat. And Lady Love didn't loan us the $36, pay the light bill. How does children understand, interpret that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good?
It may be hard for them to interpret it, but no matter what the situation, He's good. You know, it may be hard. They may say, how come He's so good, and then you can't come up with that. But
that's what I'm saying.
You know, right.
Right.
I don't know.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Monica, let's bring you in. Monica, how do we understand that? I mean, were we saying this to get the $36 from Lady Love when I owe those other people the last 2 weeks and I've been saying the same thing? And what are we saying? Who am I trying to convince?
I'm so excited about this subject because I've had personal experience with this very subject about a year ago. And would you believe it, about 3 weeks ago, I wrote a song including this very phrase.
Listen, my pastor every week says God is good, and including in my song, I was on the highway just thinking about the goodness of God. And
right.
This was the second week I was trying to finish the song. And the song is about, you know, I never really had given up on my faith, even though I've had so many long bad days. And the second week I got the other song, but I had a friend who was so upset every time the pastor said it. He was like, every week he's saying God is good, God is a nonsense. And I said, listen, man, I believe it, and I shout it all the time because I believe it, because
right.
I believe it with all my heart because God is good to me. And maybe you're talking to me, to the person about the light bill. It's not $36, but everything you're talking about tonight, my light bill was so huge last month. I'm like, where in the world am I going to, where am I going to get money to pay? And do you know, I am not kidding, Dr. Walker, the very person who every week say God is good, and I say all the time God is good, is the same person the Lord used to bless me with the money. I got an opportunity to do something, and I was blessed, and I was able to pay my light bill. But you have to believe it.
Wow.
Take the stuff.
Wow.
Yes, Dr. Walker, it's true.
Wow.
So I was singing my
wow,
song one day
cool.
on the show about the people
yeah.
say, the pastor say God is good all the time. The people say, no, the pastor say God is good, and the people say God all the time, God is good. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that with us. So I'm getting from this, we're going to go to 561-584 in just a moment. So I'm getting from this, Monica, is that if you're actually saying this, and I think Nova or Lady Love may have said it earlier, you're kind of like convincing yourself that no matter what you're going through, you just got to keep believing that no matter what it is, that God's going to see you through. So even with that $36, that I may have come to Lady Love for to pay to pay the light bill and those other people that I owe for the last 2 weeks to feed these 12 children. That, you know, I just got to keep believing. And what about
That's
if
right.
they're coming after me for their money? But we're going to ask you all to hold on. Let's go to 561-584. Welcome to tonight's program. Who do we have with us?
Oh, this is Sister Sharon.
Sister Sharon, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Sister Sharon, help
yes.
us to understand, in your opinion, what does it mean when people say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good? Even when though they can't pay their life, they can't feed the children, where's the goodness in God in that?
Well, I think God is ultimately always good. His character is such that he cannot sin, so he's always good. Now, based on the extent of our faith, we may limit God as to how his goodness reflects in our life and what we need. We may limit God by how we live. We may limit God by how, if we're saying that we're this and we're not that, we limit God by how much we believe. It's contingent on the extent of faith that we have. We truly believe that it will come through for us because we need this at this time, then God will come through for us. But the thing is that it is, God is going to be always good regardless of how good we are. We may not be very good, but God will always be very good. And sometimes even when we trust, even when we ask for, like you mentioned earlier, somebody went around asking for money and then kept saying, using that, it was that did not reflect on God. As far as I'm concerned, that reflected on that person, that person was using this to gain. But really, it reflected that person really did not believe in the true goodness of God. So that
yes.
reflected negatively on him, not necessarily.
That's what I'm
not
talking about.
On God, not on God. Not on God.
Right. That's
God,
the point
God
that I wanted
through.
To drive home. That's the point
mm-hmm.
I wanted to drive home, that people may be sending that out, you know, like in my case, just to tell Lady Love that he's good, meaning you let me have this money now, And I already got a list of people that are already old back here. But yet at the same time, my children are trying to figure out, Dad, what are you doing? Mom, what are you doing? You know, where's the goodness in God when you owe all of these people and now you're getting ready to borrow more money? And so let me go to the phone line. Sister Sharon, thank you for sharing that with us. Lady Love, I got to bring you back in here because I got something that's passionate about my heart when people are saying this, and we're like 8 minutes before we bring the show to a close. And that is Africa, the starvation in Africa. Can we really send a message over there and say all the time, God is good and God is good all the time? Just don't give up hope. Don't give up faith. And then that mother has a child who's the parasites are eating from the child's own body. Lady Love, how do you, I mean, help me with that.
The long suffering from Africa, like they said, it's the faith you got to have. And it's hard to tell that mother, Dr. Walker, it's going to be okay when she's watching her baby die. But your faith is all that we have because God is good. He has a reason for everything, and it might not make sense, but he has a reason for everything that is being done, and we have to trust him. So I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, Dr. Walker. I truly don't.
Right. Beverly, Lady Love, we appreciate your thought and your honesty. Okay. Beverly, let's bring you in here. How do you say that to the homeless in California? And I had an opportunity to visit that over the summer, and I was just taken back. I was floored. Just right around the corner in one section, you got wealth. And not even a mile and a half away, you got people lined up, mothers with homeless children. And it just broke my heart. But yeah, so how do I go up to this lady that may ask me with her hand held out, with children who are dirty and need a bath and need a food, and I say, Miss, listen here, here's $5, but God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Help me with that. How do I do that?
Well, you can't just, you know, give her the fact that God is good all the time. No, you have to like the day when I met this lady and I said to her, I said, I don't know how to say this to you, but, you know, I'm just going to tell her that God will work it out for you. And she said, I'm praying. And I said, you know, I was where you are before. And only the grace of God that got me through. She said, tell me how you did it. I said, I just held on with everything in me that tells me that God is good. And I'm trying to give you some hope today. I don't have anything else to give you. I don't know what else to say, but let me tell you, God is really good, and he's going to see you through one of these days. I don't know when, I don't know how, but he's going to work it out for you and your children. That's all we can do, because some people will curse you out and be like, don't tell me anything about God, you know, or whatever. But at the end of the day, that's all people like myself that's, who knows that you know that you know that only God can do the things that has been done in your life. You have no other choice but to say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I mean, it sounds hypocritical, but God is good. I don't know what else to say. God is good. I don't know why some people are hungry, some people are rich, why some people have it all and some people don't have anything. I don't know why, but that doesn't change God from being a good God. It's a tough subject, but it's true.
We appreciate that. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Nova, let's bring you in. I mean, I've had an opportunity to travel extensively, and some of the countries that I've gone in, and even a year ago, international, during one of my international travels that we did the show from, and you have these kids who, they're like 3 and 4 years old. Their Pampers or diapers, well, Pampers now, I guess, have to be changed. But they're walking bare feet, and their parents are just, the mother is always a mother, sitting there with her legs folded, and because she's so tired and drained from the sun beating her down after being out there all day, and she has on nothing but sandals with holes in them. And so now she sends these three or four children out to beg for money. And then they will take anything that you give them. They don't even know the value of the money. And what they're trying to give you in exchange is a little piece of candy. You know, we call that in law quid pro quo, something in exchange for something, to let you know that we'll give you something if you just help us with some money. And, of course, they want the money to be of greater value than the candy that they're giving you. And I gave until I just didn't have enough to give any more. But then it's hard to look at them because, you know, tomorrow they'll be back out there because it's not enough. So, you know, that's going to bring us to next week's show, and that is, are God's people doing their part to make the world a better place? You know, mm-hmm. aren't we really our brother's keeper? So I ask you this question, and the question is, what in the world are we doing? How can we look at these kids and not have a compassion for them like Christ had compassion for the people? And we call ourselves created in his image. What in the world are we doing? Somebody help me with that. I believe I called Donna. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to thank you for asking that question, and I want to be able to speak truth, and I thank God for being able to speak the truth in love. And the truth is that God did not create suffering and sorrow. He's not the originator of suffering and sorrow. Sin is, and what sin is being detached from God and from everything that's good. So we were designed to give. We were designed to be part of this circle of life, which is a beneficent circle of life, which means it's loving. Love always gives. It gives the very best. And so when selfishness came into the scene, you know, people began to hoard means and money and property and land and all these things and amassing for themselves, even in the face of poverty. So when people look at the situation, you know, they want to blame God automatically, and that's what atheists do. Atheists blame God. They say, oh, you know, why would God allow for all this suffering to happen? And the truth is, in order for God to save our souls and give us a brand new life, he's got to take some of us through very difficult experiences. And some people go through experiences that are forced upon them because of evil, the existence of evil. Now, evil existed, of course, because Adam and Eve allowed for evil to take over dominion of this world because they disobeyed God. The fact of the matter is, suffering happens for two reasons. One, because man is selfish, and two, because God does not interfere with the will of man. He does not interfere with the will of man, but he does not allow for suffering only to go to a certain point because others have a will and a right to life. So suffering of all kinds, and specifically the suffering of that woman, it's caused by greed. And I'm going to speak an even deeper truth. A lot of the poverty that we see today is condensed and made worse by big business. And if we understand that, if we understand the economy that we live in that keeps us bound because money is not worth anything, right?
Well, the Bible says that money answers all things. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. But we're going to ask you to put a pin in that thought because we're definitely out of time. We're down to 45 seconds. And listen, all of you all, we appreciate your comments. I just got to say this here before we close the show and then go back to Lady Love with any closing thoughts. Tomorrow morning you will want to join us from 6:30 to 8:30. The program actually starts at 7. We have praise and worship from 6:30 to 7. You can tune in right here on this dial, the 347 number that you called in, or you can join us by Zoom if you got that invitation. If not, you can call in here 6:30 to 8:30 tomorrow, even if you call in late. You know, the program actually starts at 7. Tomorrow is our miracle prayer day. If you're standing in need of a prayer, or you want to do an intercessory prayer for someone, you will want to call here tomorrow morning, a.m., you know, and even if you don't want to give your name, but you just want to give initials, if you're standing in prayer for a miracle, for God to intervene into your life or as an intercessory prayer for someone else, you will definitely want to be online with us tomorrow morning. For more information, you can check us out. Just you know, go to this, go to my website, or you can certainly tune in tomorrow morning to hear this program. You don't want to miss tomorrow morning's program. We appreciate all of you all tonight. Lady Love, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, this is from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plan I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God is good, and he's good all the time.
Amen. On that note, we're clearly out of time. Listen, join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. If you choose to bypass next Thursday, well, join us tomorrow. If you choose to bypass tomorrow or next Thursday, join us back here Friday, next Friday, when the topic will be, are God's people, that's those people who are called by his name, are they doing or are we doing our part to make the world a better place? You don't want to miss that one, you know, because if God doesn't speak to you next week, I don't know. I just don't know. I really don't know. But join us here tomorrow morning. Please, you don't want to miss that. Are God's people next week, are God's people doing their part to make the world a better place? If perhaps if we were, the world would have been a better place already. So what is wrong with us? Okay, listen, we're out of time. We've got to go, you all. Listen, hope to hear from you all tomorrow morning, 6:30 or 8:30. Until then, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. God bless you all.
Good night.
Keep safe. Be blessed, everyone.
Amen. Thank you. You too.